Happy Valentine's Day, folks, to all of our listeners. Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Disney has come up with an interesting reopening to its California Adventure Park, we'll explain. And the White House denies it is considering vaccine or other requirements for domestic air travel.
And at 3:20, we make you a smarter traveler by explaining the Valentine's Day connection to Oregon and give you a little history of the heart holiday that you can impress your sweetheart with at dinner tonight.
We have found something online we think you might enjoy if you're a fan of the Peanuts comic strip. There is a cool piece of history for you to see.
Benjamin Clark, the curator of the Charles Schulz Museum in Santa Rosa, tells you all about it at 3:35 and how you can see some hidden treasures in a special online exhibition.
And there's something you might want to see in person. In person. This summer, you could travel all the way to San Francisco to see a cool visual presentation of some of Van Gogh's works.
Just because it's Van Gogh doesn't mean it isn't really different. The show with floor-to-ceiling projections of masterpieces has been seen by nearly 2 million people around the world. And now it's coming to San Francisco. Details at 3:20, or 3:50, rather.
Something like that. We're up to 1.6 needles, a million needles, 1.6 needles a day in arms. Each day, the person who's getting the 0.6, never mind, it's 1.6 million needles in arms a day. Safe travel is just around the corner. To those of us who like to wander, this is good news. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road.
Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, working on trying to figure out the difference between 3:20. Pleasure to be with you. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Happy Valentine's Day, Mark. I see you're wearing, it looks like a red shirt. St. Louis on the pocket there?
It's easy for me because I'm a Cardinal baseball fan, and I'm wearing all things baseball because the pitchers and catchers will be reporting next week. I realize insignificant to most people, but not to me. So,
I've been thinking about that all week. I just knew you would be on pins and noodles.
Yeah, that's that's it. So, see, I've got red and I've got my Cardinal stuff, and I can stand here at my desk and look at the jersey of the late Stan Musial. And so, you know, that proves that I'm officially a Cardinal fan and have been for many years.
All right. There you go. By the way, folks, travelguysradio.com, going to be links to some of the stuff that we talk about today, as well as all kinds of interesting things to make you a smarter traveler. A lot of things changing out there with the vaccinations, Mark, I would imagine with Sports Leisure Vacations, you probably have an update in regards to what's the latest, what's going on.
Well, more and more companies, Tom, travel companies, and we talked about this in the fall as this was starting to shape up. We could kind of see this coming, and more companies are saying, if you want to travel, you need to have a vaccine. In fact, this almost came down to domestic air travel last week until we got that story in the news in just a moment, until the airlines put their foot down. But more and more, especially if you're going to be on a cruise ship, in a motor coach, you're going to be in an enclosed area with a group of people. You want to go to the theater, you want to go to the ballpark, things of that sort. While the virus is still out there, you're going to have some, the people who are allowed into those events are going to be the people who can prove that they're safe. So if you get a vaccine, you'll be able to prove it that way. And if you don't want to get a vaccine or you're unable to, then you can get a test. Within a day or two or three, these new home tests, I think, are going to make it a lot easier for that type of thing to happen. And that's what's going to allow some of these events to get back going again while the virus is still around. And for people who don't want to get the vaccine and they don't want to get a test, then that'll be their choice. And the other choice will just be that they don't get to travel for a while. But at Sports Leisure Vacations, we are looking very strongly at we're getting some input from other people. We'll make our decision in a week or so. My guess is that it's going to be a policy will be announced that sometime next month on all trips you'll have to be vaccinated, have a proof of vaccination, or be able to show that indeed you took a test at home or a doctor's office in the last few days, kind of like going to Hawaii, and that as of that point in time you were COVID-free. Of course, most of my travelers tend to be mature travelers, and those are the people who are getting the needles in their arms first. So it's fairly likely that my travelers will be ready to go maybe before the people who go lay on the beach at Cabo or are looking for spring break. I mean, at least from a standpoint of vaccines. So that's kind of what we're looking at Sports Leisure Vacations right now. And I'm sure in the next few days, why we will have an announcement to all of our travelers that that defines that policy clearly. But as Dr. Fauci and others have said, if you get a chance to get the vaccine and you don't have a really strong reason for not getting it, then the best thing to do is get that needle in your arm as soon as possible.
Good news, good news, good to know. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And with the travel news update, here's Mark.
Last week, we talked about the fact that some of the folks in the aviation industry were concerned about the concept that had been put forward that maybe everybody should be tested before they get on a commercial airplane to travel anyplace. I might suggest to you that that was is a heck of an idea, and if we'd have done it last summer, that might have really been a good idea. I think that ship has already sailed now, and indeed, the White House has kind of said the same thing after meeting with the airlines, and we've talked about this before, but if you haven't heard me say it, after the gun lobby in Washington, D.C., I would suggest to you that one of the most powerful lobbies in our government, groups of lobbyists, is the airline industry. So they are called Airlines for America, and it's which is a misnomer because it's mostly airlines for themselves, but they are very powerful and all over anything that happens that's bad to airlines about within about 20 minutes. But this is good news, I think. There's no testing requirement for domestic travel under consideration. So you will be able to get on a domestic airplane. However, of course, not very many air travel continues to be at a roughly 40%, 35 to 40% of last year. What's interesting is that those comparisons, those year over year comparisons, in a few weeks will start lapping over when people stopped flying last year. So the number of people on airplanes is roughly about the same as it was last year after people decided they were only going to fly if they needed to. So it remains at 35 to 40%. The airlines have been bailed out again until about mid-March, and then we'll see what's happening. But certainly the fact that more and more people are getting vaccinated, I think, is going to make the end is in sight here, folks, unless the train comes down the track the wrong way. And the only thing is that nobody can look into their crystal ball and say, is that 60 days away or 120 days away or 6 months away or whatever. But it's not very far. And the people at Disney recognize that. They are going to reopen the Disney California Adventure Park sometime in March. The target date is March the 12th. There is more information on this at travelguysradio.com. But for right now, all Disney has said is that they plan to reopen the park without rides. It will be a ticketed experience involving food and shopping, of course, because those are ways for you to spend your money besides the ticket, and also entertainment. So my guess is that Disney is as good at this as anybody. So if anybody could pull this off, get you to buy a ticket to go into a theme park with rides that are not working, my suggestion is that Disney will be the people who can do this. So it'll be interesting to watch. Don't you think, Tom? You're kind of a Disney fan.
Oh, yeah. I was talking with my Disney daughter about this. Some years ago, we did Epcot Center in Disney World, and they had a special event. It was food and wine tasting all around the different countries that circle the big water feature there in Epcot Center. And it was a lot of fun. You know, you would get food from different countries and different types of drinks and beverages and so forth. And I kind of think that this is what they're going to emulate at California Adventure. Here again, no rides. California Adventure had become more of the part of Disney down in Anaheim that was for adults, and Disneyland was more for the kids. However, they've been reworking California Adventure and adding things for small children as well. But I think they're pulling back, and the first entree is going to be something smaller. It's going to be some food, some wine, mm-hmm. some street entertainment. Who knows? They may even attempt a parade. My gosh.
Holy cow.
What next?
Well, we'll keep an eye on it. It's kind of interesting. They have not been able to reopen the parks here in California. They reopened them in Florida. They're running between 20 and 30% of their capacity each day. They haven't had to turn people away very many times except on a couple of weekend days around the holidays. So the reality is that most people are not ready to go back to a theme park yet. But again, that day could be just around the corner, so Disney, I think this is kind of a dry run. Here's something fun from Travelers United. Do you have a favorite airline? If so, which one? This is always interesting because this isn't tilted by anyone. Southwest Airlines came out on top, 27% of the vote, followed by Delta. Gosh, this lines up almost exactly with the way I would have put them. Southwest, Delta, the two people currently with the best customer service. United and American tied for third. JetBlue just a touch behind them. JetBlue not as big of an airline, so the fact that they're drawing as many votes as American and United would seem to indicate that they have more people, a higher percentage of their customers like them. And then other airlines was 11%. And then finally, the one at the bottom, which was kind of cute, whichever airline gets me where I want to go for less, 12%. And that explains a lot of the lack of service in the airline industry, because there still is an element of people who just get me there. I don't care how crammed I am. I don't care how uncomfortable it is. I just want to go cheap and just get me there. So that's kind of what is continuing to be said. Delta Airlines has reaffirmed that they will continue to block the middle seats until April the 30th, which is, I think, really a good PR move on their part. If you fly a regular six across Delta Airlines airplane, the seating, there will only be four people unless you want to buy the middle seat. And if you're flying one of their four across planes with two on each side, one of those four seats will be left empty all the time. American Express has added new limited time perks to its Delta, Hilton, and Marriott credit cards. If you have one of those, in some cases, they are not telling people about all of the perks, so you need to go online to the home site of your credit card and log in and nose around a little bit. Remember, we also advise the folks that during this time when you're not flying and you're not staying in hotels and stuff, occasionally it's just a good idea to go online and check and make sure that all of your points or miles or whatever currency that you have in your frequent traveler account with that particular entity are still there, because there are bad people in the world who steal those things. It's always better to know they're missing right away than several months later. And finally, here's a really important story if you're in the travel industry. The U.S. About a week ago said they were going to cut a deal to provide 15-minute COVID-19 tests at home. Indeed, this week, $231 million in funding to help a number of different companies move forward with these 15-minute tests. You'll be able to, at home, test yourself easily. You'll be able to get the result. If you follow the test correctly, you'll be able to get your results on your cell phone at home. And so there you go with your, you know, here's my, I'm not vaccinated, but yes, I'm safe from COVID because I just tested at home last night, instead of waiting and wondering whether or not the results are going to make it before your flight departs. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. And again, visit TravelGuysRadio.com. Links to a lot of the stuff that we talk about can be found there. All right, coming up after a couple of minutes out, I'm going to make you a smarter traveler and explain the Valentine's Day connection to Oregon. That's next here on the Travel Guys. Again, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and it's good to be here. It's good to be bringing you things that make you a smarter traveler. It's good to be talking about travel as something that we can be doing pretty soon, rather than not being the non-travel guys and talking about refunds all the time.
Yeah.
Where were you a year ago at this time, Mark? I was in, I was in Disneyland. Within a day or so, headed to Vegas. I mean,
I had just
What a difference a year makes.
Yeah, I just come back probably a week or so earlier from the New York Times travel show in New York and Key West.
Yeah,
kind of
go.
A double excursion that I've been. I've been to Key West every January for 15 years. Ask me if I'm missing Key West. I don't miss the town as much as I miss all of the friends and the people that I've met there.
Sure.
And I don't get to see them. I mean, there's the guy that does the female impersonator show and the man that drives the trolley that's absolutely the best hour of entertainment that you can buy any place on the planet. The people in the restaurants, the guy that runs the shuttle out to the little island where we have the private luncheon. It's just all is Key West is a place of characters. There's a man there who owns a restaurant called B.O.'s Fish Wagon. Buddy Owen is the guy's name. It's a dilapidated thing, looks like a 30-mile-an-hour wind would blow it over. And Buddy was a running guy with Jimmy Buffett when Buffett was down in Key West. So he's got all of these Jimmy Buffett stories, and Buffett's recording studio is right across the street from his restaurant. So there's a possibility that some of these stories might even be true. And if you can wind him up and stop by his restaurant for lunch and he starts telling you Jimmy Buffett stories and things like that, the people just sit there and just, I mean, it's, you can't get it anywhere else. So I miss taking people to Key West. It's a great destination if you ever get a chance to go, not in the summer during hurricane season, but in the winter.
Right.
So well,
look
great,
at there.
Great
one,
destination.
Look at that one question just wound you up. That was great. Okay. Now back to our subject at hand here. Valentine's Day in Oregon. What's the connection, my
friend? Valentine's Day in Oregon, yeah. Some of our listeners may have scurried to the computer and punched this in. You know, you can ask Google just about everything. February 14th is a special day in Oregon because it's Oregon's birthday. February 14th of this year makes it 162 years since the Beaver State was founded. So happy birthday to Oregon.
Did you just make that up, the Beaver State?
No, that's what it's known as. You know,
okay.
Lots
of logs, lots of beavers.
Yeah. No, that's so. Anyways, if you are in or if you lived in Oregon or something like that, you're like, everybody knows that. And this gives me a great opportunity to make a cheap
Oregon
or to make a cheap blatant plug for our program next week because we are going to have a series of folks on from different Oregon destinations, folks from the coast and from up in Pendleton, which is cowboy country, is kind of cool. There are some really neat things to see in Pendleton. And maybe an update from Portland, and just to kind of take you around the state. And folks are going to stay closer to home this year, so that would be a good opportunity. Let's see. What was I supposed to actually talk about this segment? We were going to talk a little bit about Valentine's Day and about the story of Valentine's Day. This is kind of interesting, actually. It's named after a Catholic priest who lived in Rome in the 3rd century. In the time of Valentine's life, many Romans were converting to Christianity. But the emperor was a pagan, and he didn't like Christians, and so he believed that Roman soldiers should be completely devoted to Rome, and therefore he passed a law preventing them from marrying. Okay? 3rd century. Valentine is alive. We're talking about the Roman emperor who won't let the soldiers get married. So Saint Valentine begins to marry these soldiers in secret Christian ceremonies. And this was the beginning of his reputation for believing in the importance of love. Eventually, he was found out and he was jailed for his crimes. While he was jailed, took care of fellow prisoners and also his jailer's blind daughter. Legend has it that Valentine cured the daughter's blindness and that his final act before being executed was to write her a love message signed "From Your Valentine." Valentine was executed on February 14th in the year 270. So there you have the ancient history. There really was a Saint Valentine, and there really was a first "From Your Valentine," even though it didn't end as well for him as hopefully it will for many of you this afternoon, this evening. And for all those of you guys who are driving around, it hasn't started raining yet, so that means that all the street vendors are still out with flowers and all of those things that you forgot to buy. So swing by and put a few dollars in one of those people's pockets. I wanted to talk quickly here about a couple other things. We got about a minute and a half here, Thomas?
Yes, a minute 45.
Okay. All right. New York is talking about reopening Broadway and some of the large venues with extensive COVID testing. This would happen a couple of test venues at a time, but at least they are starting to talk about this. Broadway, of course, which has been closed since last March, and has been, they've said they'll be closed through the end of May. We're looking at some shows maybe starting to get back up this summer. But once again, as we were talking about in the beginning, it's going to be testing or vaccines that's probably going to get you into a crowded theater as long as this virus is all over the place. And finally, folks who have been around a while will remember a thing at Yosemite National Park called the Firefall. And the Firefall is back at Yosemite National Park, but it's a natural occurrence. It only happens in February. There's a small waterfall that, as the sunset hits it in Yosemite Park, looks exactly like the old Firefall. It's a mile and a half walk from the closest parking lot, so you're guaranteed that not a lot of people will be there. It's on the side of El Capitan in Yosemite Valley. You have to have a reservation to get into the park now. So if you decide to go to Yosemite for any reason, you have to have an online reservation first. But anyway, if you go the middle 2 weeks of February here, there's a chance that you could see this very special waterfall, which looks incredibly like the Firefall when they used to throw the lit fire off of the top of the mountain in Yosemite Valley, something that was a really bad idea. But anyway, they've done away with that, and you can see the Firefall in person naturally.
All right, coming up right after the news break, Charles Schulz Museum. We're going to talk about it. Next on the Travel Guys.
In the nick of time, a hero arose, a funny looking doll with a big black nose. He flew into the sky.
Hey there, my friends. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And today we're going to talk a little entertainment, for sure, and kind of some internet travel, right, Mark?
Yeah, yeah.
What's that song I hear there?
What's if you go way back in time, there are probably people listening to this radio program right now who have absolutely no idea what that song is, have never heard it before. But if you are a fan or you know anything about the Peanuts comic strips, you will know that one of Peanuts' great rivals was a World War II character, the Red Baron. Did you know that there was a Charles Schulz Museum up in Santa Rosa? And joining us on the phone to talk a little bit about the Peanuts Museum and some cool things that are going on up there, Benjamin, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you very much.
Benjamin Clark, I should say. Benjamin, tell us a little bit about the Charles Schulz Museum. Under normal times when people could come and visit, you're not too terribly far from us in the Santa Rosa area. So tell us a little bit about the museum.
Well, the museum is typically open year-round, almost every day, and it's been open since about 2002. So we're looking at a 20th anniversary coming up. Mm-hmm. Next year. So, but we have, in a typical year, we'll have six exhibitions rotating through our galleries. So you could literally come every 2 months and see something new somewhere in the museum. So if you've never been, you really need to come. And if you've been before, come back because you're going to see something new.
And of course, right now, with the museum closed, the opportunity to see it live and in person doesn't exist. But you guys have come up with something really interesting here, I think, is worthy of some attention. You've come up with an opportunity for people to see some things online that have never been shown in the museum. Is that correct?
That's correct. So we wanted to create something, you know, we love our visitors and our fans of Schultz and of Peanuts, and we wanted to do something special for them to enjoy from home. And we went ahead and created one of our very first online exhibitions that's really extensive. And we thought, well, what can we do that we can't do in the gallery? And we thought, well, what if we had Jeannie Schultz, Charles Schultz's widow, and myself as the curator, and what if we got a couple of, you know, some of our senior staffers over at the Schultz studio to do little audio tracks and discuss some of the original artwork and artifacts and tell some of the stories behind these things for people and create this kind of web experience. And so that's what we've done. We've created hidden treasures, unseen originals from the collection. So these are original comic strips as drawn by Schultz. You're going to see them in extreme high resolution. You are going to be able to see all the little corrections, the little pencil marks underneath and the whiteout. And you're going to see where he's written on it, where he maybe dedicated it to a friend and gave them that original and displayed that in their home. And you're going to hear all these stories from Jeannie Schultz herself and from myself and these other guys who are also cartoonists in their own right. So they're bringing that artist's perspective as well. So it's a really special thing, and we hope a lot of people will enjoy it.
Benjamin, I have to ask you, you know, the of course, the drawings of the characters are so uniquely Charles Schultz. But one of the things that I'm fascinated about is are the words, the storylines, is the humor and so forth that weaves its way through all of the Peanut stories and comic strips and so forth. And was that all Charles Schultz, or did somebody, did people, his wife, did who helped with that?
That was all him.
All him.
You know, that was something he, you know, he was old school in 1950 when he started. And, you know, he drew every line himself. He lettered it. He inked it. He did everything himself, including all the writing. There's a great story from Lynn Johnston, the cartoonist who did For Better or For Worse. And she and Schultz are on the phone one day, you know, he's kind of complaining to her, you know, he's, oh, I can't think of anything today. Nothing's going right. And he cracks a little joke about, you know, just how life just goes like that. And it makes her laugh. And she says, oh, you should use that as your joke for today. And turn that into a strip. And he said, what? And she had to repeat the joke back to him because he didn't even hear it. And he said, well, no, you said that. And so they had an argument about over who said it and whether it was okay to use. And that was how he was. He would never use someone else's joke.
Benjamin is with the Charles Schultz Museum, which is in Santa Rosa. If that name sounds a little bit familiar to you, the creator of Peanuts. Started in 1950, so 70 years. This is kind of fun. This is a quote from the creator of Peanuts. And keep in mind that he's the guy who drew all of this, so he made this all happen. But just to quote here, I'm not sure how Snoopy got on top of the doghouse, but I'm glad he did because it opened up whole new areas of fantasy for me. So here's the guy who drew the strip kind of saying, wow, I walked in one day and Snoopy was on top of the doghouse. And think of all the things we could do, including the whole Red Baron story that that we were alluding to, of Snoopy heading off to fight off the Red Baron in the war and stuff like that. So this is an online exhibit, and we have put you have been gracious enough to give us a link to a preview. So, Benjamin, they can go online. We'll put the website there to see the preview. There's a little bit of a charge to be able to see the whole exhibit.
Yes, there is. So, of course, you know, with being closed, it has impacted the museum quite a lot. And we're now coming up on a year of being closed. So to create this special experience online, we thought, well, we really should charge for it, even a small fee.
Yeah.
So, yes, we are charging $10. Although, if you are a listener and you happen to be a member of the Schultz Museum, it is free for you.
Well, thank you, Benjamin. I think this is for those of us, you mentioned the museum having been closed for a year, and those of us who are travelers, we understand being closed for a year because as travelers, we've basically been closed for a year also. There have been a few really creative things that have come along in the last few months from facilities like yours. Go to travelguysradio.com. You can support the Charles Schulz Museum. You can see some wonderful Peanuts comic strips that have never been shown in public before. Have a laugh. Pass them around the house. Share them with your, print them off. Share them with your friends, whatever it is that you're going to do. I can't imagine a better way to spend a cold, rainy afternoon than enjoying some of the old Peanuts comic strips. Benjamin, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us. And just make me a promise that when the museum reopens and you have a cool exhibit that people can see in person, that you'll remember us and give me a note and we'll invite you back.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, there you go, my friends. Something else fun to do without having to leave the house. And you can find a link to the Charles Schulz Museum at travelguysradio.com, along with a lot of other cool stuff. That's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, no, and Mark and I were seriously enjoying the Royal Guardsman's Red Baron, or the Snoopy and the Red Baron thing. There were two versions of that, you know, Mark.
Yes, there were. There were. And then a follow-up version, too. A second come around for the Red Baron. Hey, listen, I just noticed that our list online does not include the link to the Charles Schulz Museum.
Oh, no.
Yeah, my fault. Apparently, I just didn't give it to the nice lady who takes care of all of this for us. So I am sending it to her right now.
Okay.
So, if you're looking for the link, just hang on a couple minutes, and I think it'll be up there. And we'll be back. We're going to talk about something really cool that you can see in San Francisco in person. Unbelievable.
My gosh. Mm-hmm. All right, and that's coming up next right here on The Travel Guys.
But I would walk 500 miles an hour.
The Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. You know, Mark, earlier we were talking about airline travel and people interested in, you know, get me there as cheap as I possibly can. You know, and when it comes to international flights where you can fly on, you know, super fancy airplanes that have sleeping pods and so forth.
Who can afford that? And so,
yeah, that's the thing, is most people can't. Domestic flying, you know, many years ago, it was a luxury. People dressed up to get on planes. It was pretty a big deal. And then, you know, I don't know. Now it's that. Get me there as safely and as quickly as you can. Comfort has become a thing of the past. You know, it's certainly a lot quicker to get there. People are just concentrating on where they're going and what they're going to do when they get there. And it's no longer about the journey when it comes to the planes, which I find to be kind of sad because, you know, for the longest time when I traveled, part of the fun was flying. And, you know, I enjoyed the experience, even if it was a little crowded and so forth. But now the crowd and the worry and the masks and all, you know, what do you think? You think people will start enjoying flying again?
I think that the writing is on the wall, and the airlines have seen this for a long time. People want to fly as cheaply as possible. Airfares, when adjusted for inflation, are like one of the best bargains on the planet. So compared to what they cost now is compared to what they used to cost in today's dollars versus yesterday's dollars. But a large quantity of people, this is why Spirit Airlines and Allegiant Airlines, boy, wasn't that an interesting to-do they had with some of the kids from Sacramento on the Allegiant thing. And the only reason we haven't talked about that today is because there's some information missing there. And I don't know which side of the story the information is missing from, and until I get it, I'm not going to put my foot in it. So maybe next week we'll be in a better position to talk a little bit about what happened on that Allegiant airplane to the young men from Sacramento. But like I said, the story and what I've been able to find out by talking to the reporter who filed the story, there's still some pieces of information that I'd like to get before we can talk about that. But anyway, people are want to go as cheaply as possible. And so they're willing. That's where this basic economy and all this stuff is, you know, just put me in the cargo hold and drug me and get me there type of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, for people who can afford to pay a little more, I'm not talking about first class here, but just enough room for your legs and your kneecaps. Those folks who are, that's where Economy Plus comes from. So you want to be crammed in the back, or you want a little tiny bit more room for some more money, or you want a lot more room for a lot more money. The airlines are trying to please everyone while lining their pockets as well as possible. And, of course, they've got a huge hole to dig out of now. So, and airfares are really cheap. If you look online, airfares are really cheap. And as soon as the whistle blows and the checkered flag drops, the airfares are going to jump dramatically. So if you're thinking about going someplace, the airlines are still offering free. You know, they've gotten done away with the change rules. So you might be stuck with it with a credit with the airline if you cancel. But still, your fare is going to be 20 to 30% lower if you book it now than it's going to be after that checkered flag drops and everybody starts going to travel. So anyway.
There you go. All right. Well, let's see. Before the break, we talked about something new happening in San Francisco, something that you can actually go and see in person. Mark, why don't you tell us more about the Van Gogh exhibit.
Someplace you can go. G-O-G-H. Go, in this case. I am not a person, personally, who has a great interest in classical cultural arts. You know, old paintings and the opera and some of that stuff is just, it's not my thing.
That's because you're into old coins.
Well, there you go. See, everybody's into old something. And so, but this thing looks like something that I would really like to go to. They have taken a bunch of Van Gogh's paintings, and they have put them into visual, in electronics, and they are projected from floor to ceiling. And they have created socially distanced bubbles within this place called Fillmore West, which you may be familiar with.
This is actually going to be in the Fillmore West
location? Yes, it is. Old concert hangout from, what, the 60s and 70s?
Right.
Yeah.
I thought the Fillmore turned into a car dealership.
Either way,
if it has anything to do with Fillmore, they always did the big projection and high tech, that kind of stuff.
So what's going to happen is you go and you're going to go in and be able to see all this stuff in a very, it's not going in and looking at paintings on walls. So you think this might sell? 2 million people have already seen it. It's coming from Toronto. They announced a couple months ago that it was going to be here. They have sold almost all the tickets for March and April. They sold all the weekends pretty immediately. They've extended it into September now. It's going to be between $40 and $60. Depends on whether you're, I mean, so this is not a, you know, $9 museum admission or anything. This is a real deal. So depending on whether you go in during the day, during the week, or you go in the evening, or you go on the weekend, will determine your price and whether you want free goodies in your price package or not. There are a variety of different ones. You can find the link at travelguysradio.com. I suggest that if you think this is something you'd want to do, you want to get tickets as soon as you can. Remember, they've got it socially distanced and stuff. So, and you're looking at a few months into the future when we'll have more people vaccinated and things will open up a little bit more hypothetically. So this looks like something really cool. If you are a sports leisure traveler, rest assured that when your newsletter arrives in your mailbox in a couple weeks, that there will be a couple of opportunities to do this. And if you're someone who doesn't have your own transportation or would like to go to San Francisco with somebody else, Sports Leisure Vacations will be offering some opportunities to see this show this summer. But
cool.
a really cool and different sort of thing, and for folks who haven't been able to get out, that's why the tickets are selling so fast, is because folks couldn't get out. Yes,
hey,
sir.
By the way, I meant to mention this a little earlier, right after we played the Charles Schulz museum interview. In it, we made a boo-boo. I think we referenced that the online tickets were $10, mm-hmm. when in fact they're only $5.
That's correct.
So if you go to our website, once it's there, yep. And you're going to log in and so forth, it's only $5 to see the hidden treasures in the Charles Schulz Museum.
And I did it this
afternoon.
Stuff
you've never seen before.
I gave him the $5 and went on. I should have probably mentioned that too. And went online. It's really cool. There's all these Peanuts comic strips that no one has ever seen that the guy drew, and no one ever saw them. And for those of you who are a little bit younger, Peanuts was always at the top of the comic strip page, and all of the Charlie Brown Christmas and the Charlie Brown holiday TV shows and stuff all sprung from this comic strip that this really incredibly creative man who was born in Santa Rosa, and so that's why the museum is there, and it's something that is enjoyable to stop by and see under most circumstances, but you can't go now, and so all these folks are trying to create things that will allow them to get a little bit of revenue, and dare I say, having looked at the hidden treasures from the Schulz Museum online, $5 is a precious, I would have given them 10 if they had asked for it. Thomas, next week here, we are going to do something kind of cool. We're going to take folks on a tour of Oregon. We know that destinations close to home are going to be very popular for the next 6 months or so. Some people are not going to travel. They're not going to fly. Some folks are not going to travel, but some are not going to fly. So getting in the automobile, or if you do fly, maybe an hour flight to Portland or up to Seattle to open a whole new world to you. So the folks in Oregon, there are lots of great places in Oregon. I take tour groups to all kinds of destinations there. And so we have invited a bunch of folks from Oregon to come, folks from the interior, folks from Portland, folks from the coast to come and talk to us next week on the Travel Guys. So that will be most of our show, the back half of our show next week, will be all of the folks from Oregon who today are celebrating their 162nd birthday. Do you know the story?
Do you know, do they have any formal, is there a formal something that they do in Oregon on their birthday?
I don't know. We'll ask them next week. You know how Portland got its name, don't you? I mean, this is the Reader's Digest condensed version. A guy from the East Coast wanted to name it Boston, but Boston was already taken. Another guy wanted to name it Portland, but Portland, of course, in Maine was already taken. They flipped a coin to decide the name of the city, and it came up Portland. And that's why Portland is Portland, Oregon, and not Boston, Oregon, today. We have just a minute here. I want to take an opportunity and mention something of a personal nature. When I'm not being a travel guy, I do a little buying and selling of coins, collector's coins. So if you were somebody out there listening to the radio show and you have an old coin collection or a bag or a box or something like that that you would like to have valued, you might like to sell it to somebody, but most of all, you might like to have it valued. I do appraisals for free, and I'm happy to do them. I've been doing it for a few years. It's kind of a hobby of mine. So if you go to travelguysradio.com and you leave a note, Mark, I have some coins. Why, then I'll contact you back and be happy to. If it's something that I'm not interested in, I'll be happy to send you in the right direction to find somebody in town who will give you a fair price.
That's great. 100 years ago, when I was working at KCRA Radio, I had an evening program, and it was the early days of talk radio. And I had a guy that he was a plastic surgeon, and like you, he was a coin collector.
Okay.
And so he would come on, and we would do an hour radio show, and half an hour we would do rhinoplasties, and the other it was people would call in and talk about their buffalo head nickel or coin or whatever and what it was worth. Well, that wraps it up, folks. We'll be seeing you next week on another edition of The Travel Guy, so don't go away. We'll see you next time.
All right. Dance like nobody's watching. Oregon is the feature next week right here on The Travel Guys. Have a good week, folks.